Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 66, The Rescue. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
I'm back. I don't know. I didn't go anywhere. I guess I'm just back.
Well, we're back. We are back to talk more about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. And in fact, you know, I hate to, you know, start off an episode with just go back and forth banter like this instead of getting right into things, but we did finally update the icon for the show, so now it actually has both your me and my me on there.
Okay, and before that, you have to tell the truth now. Before that, that wasn't my me.
No, it was the previous co-host who was only, you know, here for a short time. You know, after Chris Slate, the original co-host, left, then I had another co-host, but he wasn't able to stay on very long. But I did put in his me, and it was his me that was on there, and I just never got around to changing it.
I had no idea that wasn't my me. It looks like me, and I just assumed, oh, Chris did a decent job of making me inside of
It doesn't have glasses on. You wear glasses.
I do, although, believe it or not, I'm wearing contacts right now, so it's kind
of close. But your me, your official me, has glasses.
It does, it does. That's
correct.
When
I street pass you, your me is wearing glasses. This one did not have glasses. But the problem is that for your own personal Twitter icon, you want to explain what happened?
This is embarrassing. I clipped out a picture of Cody's me, and it's my Twitter profile picture.
Yeah, so you've been using Cody's picture.
I just found that out tonight. I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh.
For a couple of months now.
I'm so embarrassed. That is.
I didn't have the heart to tell you. I didn't want to tell you until I actually, because I felt bad because I've been so lazy and hadn't updated the picture. So I finally updated the picture.
Oh, God.
It's got our correct me's
Cody,
on there.
If Cody follows me on Twitter, he's going to be like, that guy is a stalker. That guy wants to be me. That's weird. Totally. I'm so ashamed. I'm going to have to change that tonight. I'm so ashamed. That's silly.
Yeah, so I got a new picture. It's actually your me this time.
Okay, I'm
dressed up
to
as Proto Man.
Out.
And you can swap that in there. Won't be impersonating as young Master Cody anymore.
Wow.
Yep.
And my claim to fame is my me was featured in the Nintendo Power 3DS special issue because either you or Slate street passed me and needed somebody wearing a white t-shirt to find me. So I was the guy with the white t-shirt. I'm so proud of that.
Yeah, that was my doing because I was in charge of writing a guide for how to get through all the hazards of find me. And so, I street passed you and your me is in there. I discovered recently, speaking of me's, that my me is on some t-shirt that Nintendo gave out like 5 or 8 or some years ago.
That's awesome. Well, oh my gosh.
Yeah, a whole bunch of us guys at Nintendo Power. My me is on there. Steve Thomason, Chris Shepard, George Sinfield, some of the other guys. And I had no idea this shirt exists. I knew that our me's had been used on some marketing materials like that I saw in Toys R Us and stuff, but I didn't know anything about this shirt. And so our me's are on there. Multiple me's. It's a me with bright red hair. And there's also like a gray-haired version of me as well.
Yeah.
And my regular hair version is there, but it's kind of buried behind a bunch of other me's.
We have to find that. How did you find out that this existed?
Well, I got my hands on one recently.
Oh, my gosh. You have to. Can you tweet a picture of that?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. I'll have to find that tweet. Who tweeted? You tweeted or the Power Pros?
I did through my personal account.
Oh, you have the Power Pros tweet it. Not that I'm ignoring your tweets, but
I'll see what I can do. Anyway, enough about that. We should start talking about what's happening with Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do that. We're going to have some impressions of the latest games. We're going to have a little bit of news to talk about. And our big topic this week is going to be the games we would like to see as launch titles on the ever-mysterious Nintendo NX. I kind of would have liked to have saved this topic for when we actually knew what the gimmick was, but since it sounds like Nintendo's, you know, they're still keeping a tight lid on everything, I mean, we kind of maybe know what the gimmick is. Everyone assumes it's going to be hybrid handheld and console, and maybe there's some configurable controller things, and maybe there's other stuff we don't know. But they're keeping the official lid on everything, and they're probably going to, you know, take off the lid, tell us the gimmick, tell us all the games all at once. So we won't really be able to talk about the launch games we hope for after we know the gimmick because we're probably going to know all that stuff together. So we're just going to speculate and talk about the stuff we would like to see regardless of not knowing all the details. But before we get to that, let's kick it off with some game impressions. Specifically, let's talk about Paper Mario Color Splash, which just hit the Wii U a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you've been playing this one, right?
Yeah, I liked it so much I bought two copies.
You pre-ordered a copy.
When the game was announced, I pre-ordered a copy on Amazon just because. Just because.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And then like, I guess a month ago, I thought, oh, I should probably pre-order that and get the pre-order discount because I have Amazon Prime. So sure. I pre-ordered two copies. I don't know how I missed that fact. And so I got two of them in the mail. Yeah, that's okay. I did return the other one, but I've been playing the first one.
Yeah, I've been playing it as well.
I want to know what you think of it. I love Sticker Star, even though I know a lot of people out there didn't. So I was super excited for this game.
Well, I actually have not ever played Sticker Star, at least not very much of it. Mm-hmm. I actually own the game, but I heard so many bad things about it from people that I never opened it up and started playing and got into it because I just had so many other things to play. So it's just still sitting here. I was able to pick it up on some, you know, 2-for-1 deal, so
yeah.
I don't regret it too much. Maybe I'll get to it one of these days. And actually, if Color Splash is anything to judge by, maybe I'll actually like Sticker Star, because I am enjoying Paper Mario Color Splash so far.
Okay, that's great.
The game looks great, first of all.
It does.
I love the aesthetic.
It really does.
Especially when you can see like the corrugated cardboard and the insides of things,
yep.
And just this really great, amazing paper texture. And then, you know, when you see those like real world items, it's like, oh my gosh, they look perfect. It's the best graphics I've ever seen of a fan or a fire extinguisher or whatever. And the general concept is fun. Exploring the environment is fun. Smacking things with your hammer to splatter paint all over them and color them out is fun.
Yeah, the physics on the paint splash has really impressed me. I've just been swinging my crazy, you know, paint splash hammer everywhere.
Yeah, it's just fun to go ahead and recolorize the world. My initial impressions are it is a, you know, pretty fun, surprisingly solid game. Now, as much as I like exploration, though, I'm not sure I like the battles quite as much. The battles feel a little bit clunky to me. Like, every time you want to do an attack, it requires like 4 steps when I think it should just take like 1 or 2 to select jump or select hammer. But instead,
It should take one. The gimmick is super frustrating. I really, they're forcing you to interact with the Wii U gamepad, and it's unnecessary. I think I would appreciate it if I was 8. I'm 41. So that 30-year difference is why I don't enjoy having to paint the card before
I... paint the card, you flick the card,
choose the card. Choosing the card. So it's a 3-step process. Four steps. You have to scroll to the card you want. Then you select it, and it goes up into the top of the screen or the top of the gamepad. Then you have to paint it, and then you have to click... you're done painting.
Yep.
And then you have to flick it. Now there is a quote unquote advanced mode. The painting and the flicking happen on the same screen.
Right, can be done in 1 step. Yep.
You don't have to say I'm done painting. So it removes a step, but it's still super frustrating, super frustrating. So,
And you can also set it to be done with the buttons and directional pad instead of just being touch controls.
Yeah, you have to use the touch controls.
You don't have to use the touch controls. Oh. No. They're
what? No
yeah,
way.
Those are the 3 choices. One is just touch controls. The other is advanced touch controls. And the other one is basic touch controls and button and D-pad controls.
What does the button and D-pad let you do?
It just basically lets you use the A button to select cards and to color the cards. And then hit up on the D-pad to send the cards up to the field.
I did not see that
but you
option.
You still are always staring at the gamepad. You still have to look down there because it doesn't show them on your screen. So it doesn't really, shorten the process that much. But at least you don't have to always be messing with the touch screen. So
I didn't realize that. So I'm going to have to enable that. I didn't know there was a third mode.
Yeah, it's the exact same spot where you switch to the advanced controls like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I find that to be kind of cumbersome and just seems like it should go faster and more smoothly. And then I'm, not really a huge fan of the fact that you have to use cards at all. Okay, I mean, this is the way I see it. They're limiting you on what you can do by the number of cards you have and what supply of cards you have. You're also being limited by the amount of paint you can use because you have to apply the paint to each card.
Yeah.
And if it were me, I would have streamlined the whole process. I would have just said, okay, your paint determines which cards you can use. You know, this kind of card might use 5 paint points. This one might be 20 points. This one might be one
point.
And that's how you do it. Just everything is based on paint, and you have to allocate your paint that way.
Yeah, I find it's rare that I'm only like a quarter painting the card and using it. I have done that because, I don't have to use a whole bunch of paint on a card where I'm only beating one Goomba.
Or if you're stomping on a Koopa and knocking that shell right off the screen, it doesn't matter how weak your attack is.
It's a goofy gimmick.
So I just figure like all that stuff is just kind of... it makes it a little clunky, and I would have liked to have seen it streamlined. And when I'm playing this, I'm kind of thinking, you know, they talked about making games that would prove the value of the gamepad and to really sell the game. I think this is a holdover from that when they were still trying to be like, hey, people, this is the cool stuff you can do with the Wii U gamepad. Look at all these neat things you can do with the painting and the flicking and all that.
Yeah.
And I think this is just a holdover from that, and it doesn't prove the value of it. It's just like, oh, this is annoying. Let's get on with the battle here. And that's unfortunate because the rest of the game, like I said before, is really fun. You know, once you've actually executed those attacks, you're doing your timing-based quintuple jump on enemy, or you're throwing fireballs, or you're doing the timing-based button press with the hammer. All that stuff is great. It feels a lot like the old Paper Mario games, and it's really fun. And I wish that it just relied on that stuff. You know, that stuff is strong enough that the whole game could just rely on that for battle. It doesn't need all that unnecessary stuff with the gamepad and the flicking and whatnot. Yeah. So that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, the other thing, the other mechanic that felt really drawn out was the random card with the shuffle mode, and it takes forever. It's like, it feels like it takes 10 seconds to get a card out of that system where you have to, you're basically spending 10 coins to get a random card to, you know, and you have to stop a little spinner. If you're up against a foe you can't beat, you're going to have to gamble to get a card that can beat.
Well, it's only 10 coins. Coins are everywhere. I mean, for me, it's like, oh, I don't want to waste one of the cards I've already got. Sure, I'll spend 10 coins and just get a new card, and then I can use this on the enemy, and that way I won't waste what I've got, because all I have are, you know, triple jump cards, and I don't want to waste it on this one, you know, puny Koopa paratrooper who I just need to do a regular stomp on to knock off his wings or something.
Yeah.
So I like that's in there. But there's a couple times where I accidentally hit the L or R button to start this up, which that probably doesn't happen to you if you're not using the button controls.
Ah, yeah.
But I did that by accident, and you're right. It takes forever for it to start up. I didn't even realize I had done it. I was like, wait, what happened? I think I pressed the button 5 seconds ago. And then it would kick in. But
so that's frustrating.
And I'm glad that feature's in there. I'm happy that it's there because I want to be able to get a random card like that. But
I just wonder, at what point of the process do they question a very basic mechanic of the game where it's like, this is frustrating. This takes too long. This is going to bore players.
I wouldn't call it frustrating myself, but
I don't know. I still think the game is super charming. It's adorable. It's funny. I've laughed out loud.
Funny.
Multiple times.
That, I think, is one of the most important things about the game, is that the writing is really, really good. It is really funny. And that was one of the things I heard about Sticker Star, is that it sounded like they really had dumbed down the story. They had cut out the narrative, and they were trying to not make that a focus of the game. That was part of their whole, let's make Paper Mario not be an RPG so much.
Yeah.
And while this is still not exactly an RPG, and it is more of a funky adventure, there is a lot of dialogue, and like we've just said, it's very well written, and it is funny. It's good quality stuff.
There's a lot of winks and nods for fans of the Super Mario series going way, way back. So you have that to look forward to. So
and there's lots of sarcastic humor, too.
Oh, for sure. It's tongue-in-cheek, and it's also very, like... they're not afraid to make fun of themselves with it. It's self-effacing.
Yeah, I guess that's like the attitude that it has.
Yeah. Now, I want to say, and I hate to say this, I hate to say it, if you didn't like Sticker Star, good God, you're going to also very much hate this game. It is almost the same game. They've replaced stickers with cards, and it's... And the way you find cards is not peeling them off the wall. You just win them from
you get from enemies.
Foes.
You knock them out of blocks, out of question mark blocks, or you get them from repainting spots too.
So if you didn't like Sticker Star, boy, you probably should steer clear of this. I hate to say it, but I really enjoy Sticker Star.
From a gameplay perspective, I think that's true.
Yes.
But like I said, if
from a humor perspective, I think this is a funnier.
If
game.
It was the story that was taking you out of Sticker Star, and I know that was a complaint of a lot of people. They have fixed that at least.
Yeah.
So. Now, what do you think of the cutout ability?
The cutout ability is stupid. There's Sticker Star had a very similar mechanic, like, oh, this is where you can stick a giant sticker situation. So you find yourself getting stuck, and then you're like, oh, I guess I have to use this other weird cutout ability. And
well,
then
you wander around for a little bit, and you're like, well, what do I do? What do I do?
It's not obvious, by the way. It's not obvious where you use this effect.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, let's try hitting the Y button here and see if it does anything. And a lot of times it doesn't, and sometimes it does.
And you could just hit the Y button through a whole level, and ultimately it will kick in, yeah.
You know, sometimes you try it in places where you think it should work, and it doesn't do anything. And then sometimes you try it in a place where it's like, I'm not sure this will work, but suddenly it does. Yeah.
So I've already gotten stuck to a point where I was like, oh, crap, I have to look at a walkthrough. So that's problematic. No. Yeah, it was where there were these elevator type blocks that you had to stand on. It went up and down, and I didn't notice that there was a little carved out part of it.
Oh, it's I know which part you're talking about.
Yeah, and you have to go inside of the elevator block to go underground. There was nothing that would otherwise clue you in except that it was irregularly shaped.
Yeah, that's that purple cave, right?
Yeah, the purple cave. So that was annoying. I don't like, you know, arbitrary, you know, hidden stuff. It didn't help that I was playing it in the middle of the day and there was a glare on the television and that level is kind of dark, so it's hard to see, but
I got stuck there for a little bit myself as well, but not that stuck, I guess.
And the other thing that, I don't know, I love collect 'em all type games, you know, but where you feel like you have to paint every little thing that's not painted in the world.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to paint everything in each of these levels, good God, it's going to take you three times as long to get through a level, and I don't think you're going to have any fun doing it.
Let me tell you.
It's annoying.
I have a bunch of levels where my paint is at like 99%, and so it's like, okay, it's only one more thing to paint. How hard can it be to find that? I'll just go through and finish this off. It's impossible. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know where to find this one little last thing. It's like I went through it and I missed it the first two times. I'm not going to find it the third time. I hope there's a radar later on that will clue me in or something, because, that can be a little annoying.
A lot of the levels have two ways out as well, and finding the second way out is challenging, and in some ways it's impossible until you leave the level, do another thing, and come back. So it can be frustrating there too. And you've
noticed. I was kind of experiencing the opposite thing, where there were a couple levels where it's like, okay, I'm at the end, but I see two stars, and you know, which one should I grab? Because you know, it doesn't really matter. Whichever one I grab, I'm going to have to restart the level and play through the whole thing so I can get the second one. Yep. And I was like, I wish they had sort of made a different task or a different route through the level to get to this other one.
Because,
you know, I'm basically going to be doing the same thing over again. Only the second time through, I'm going to be like trying to avoid every battle.
Exactly. So that's exactly what I have. I've had to do that twice already. So, and I found that frustrating. It's also, you'll find that you can avoid going to that second exit and you can get to that level that it would have opened up another way. So there are multiple ways to get to. So for a completionist, you got a lot to do in this game, but it's also, I don't know, I don't want to play through the whole level again just to get the other star, but.
So do you like the structure? Do you like the fact that it's broken down into levels instead of just being one continuous world?
I do like it. It feels a lot like Sticker Star where, you know, I feel like it gives each level the opportunity to have a really unique mechanic or puzzle. And I've found that's been the case with every single level that I've played.
Yeah, they are good level designs. They are good puzzles for sure.
Yeah, and I don't want to give up any of the surprises, but there are some really fun things. Like one of the levels rolls up on itself and you have to figure out how to unroll it. I think that you obviously can't do that with every level, but to do that once and then to leave me guessing, oh, I wonder what kind of fun surprises like that are in store, where they're not afraid to do something completely bizarre and break the level for fun, you know? So that's something I'm looking forward to with this game. So I've been enjoying it. I've probably only played 10 or 12 levels. There's so much. The world is very large. And
I think there's 33 levels in all.
Okay. And I've only opened up three sections of the world.
Three sections?
Three, you know, each, like there's a sand area, there's a beach area, there's a, I don't remember what the third one is, but I've unlocked.
Anyway, you're about a third of the way through the game, I guess. Oh, a little more than a third.
So, I completely recommend it. If you didn't like Sticker Star, I don't have good advice for you other than get on Twitch and watch some folks play through a couple levels, some of the earlier levels. I hope I don't want you to spoil anything for yourself, because this game is easily spoilable. You'll see the level and you'll, you know, or the solution to a puzzle. And I don't, you know, I think if you don't get to solve it for yourself, I'm not talking about hidden weird little cracks and rocks that you're supposed to hide under. I think, you know, stuff like how do you find the toad that's in the toad shuffle and they shuffle too fast and you have to kind of figure out, oh, how can I figure out which toad is the toad I'm supposed to select? Because every time they shuffle, it's just too hard to follow them by eye. So,
yeah, they're cheaters anyway.
They are cheaters. So, yeah, those are the kind of puzzles I really enjoy. You know, it doesn't take too long to figure them out, but they're all very different. So it's a lot of puzzle solving, and it's a lot of fun little, I don't know, challenges. And it's really cute.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. The puzzles are really good. The general, you know, play mechanics are really good. Like we said before, you know, the battle system certainly could have been streamlined. I'm not a huge fan of the cards. And, I think you're probably right. If you just couldn't stand the play mechanics of Sticker Star, I'm guessing you're probably not going to like this one. And, of course, it's important to say, if you're expecting it to be like Thousand Year Door, it's not. It is not Thousand Year Door. They are continuing along this less of an RPG path that they, you know, went on with Sticker Star and with Super Paper Mario as well. So, yeah, if you're expecting that, you will be disappointed. But yeah, I liked it. I think it's pretty fun in its own right. I didn't have many expectations, especially since, like I said, I had not played the retail version of Sticker Star. I think I might have touched a pre-release copy or something, you know, way before it came out. But I'm not even sure if I did or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm liking this. I'm digging it. I'm looking forward to playing more. And there's lots of fun stuff in there.
Yeah, I think so too. One minor note, and this could just be me and my brain not working properly, but in playing Sticker Star in 3D, you have a much greater sense of depth, obviously, and where to stand to hit a block. But to stand under a block in this, you know, three-quarter view in 3D, it's kind of difficult judging depth. Maybe
I
my
admit,
brain's
as
not
I was
working.
Playing this, I was kind of like, boy, this game would be even cooler if it were in 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think like I agree with you there.
It's made to be in 3D.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but oh well, I'll take what I can get. It's probably the last major Wii U exclusive from Nintendo. So
yeah,
we'll enjoy it while we can. Well, that was the big video game release from Nintendo in the past week, but there have also been some other non-game Nintendo-related releases recently. And one of those was a soundtrack I picked up, a soundtrack CD from Japan called the 30th Anniversary The Legend of Zelda Game Music Collection.
That's cool. Tell me about it.
Well, it is a double CD set with a collection of 93 tracks from almost every game in the Zelda series. Obviously, it has come out to commemorate the recent 30th anniversary of the Zelda series release over in Japan. And I am pretty impressed. I think it's a pretty nice collection. It's got, you know, almost everything you could want. It's got the original Famicom Zelda and Zelda 2, you know, going through Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, the Oracle's games, Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword. Pretty much everything is on there, with the notable exception of Minish Cap from Game Boy Advance. I have no idea why that one got totally short. It's not on there at all. Yeah. Some games have a lot of tracks. Some games only have a few. For some reason, A Link to the Past got really shorted. It only got like 3 tracks on there.
Oh, that's surprising. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange because there's so much good music from that, and a lot of, you know, really memorable tunes got their start there.
Yeah.
You know, like the fairy theme and Zelda's theme, as it's come to be known, and, you know, that Dark World theme. I would have expected all those to be on there, but no, it only gets 3 tracks.
Hmm.
I think part of that is because a lot of those tunes got remixed in Four Swords Adventures and A Link Between Worlds. And A Link Between Worlds has like, what, like 12 or 15 tracks? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess they're thinking that Link Between Worlds kind of fills that niche with better remixed versions of some of those tunes. But still, the originals would have been nice to have on there.
So I have to ask you, because these songs are meant to be looped in game. How are they presented? Do they play out as one loop of the loop, and then you have to put it on repeat to really, you know, get the most out of it. Because, like, the Overworld theme song in The Legend of Zelda is quite short, unless you loop it five times.
You know, most of the tracks are a couple minutes long. They loop it a few times as necessary. Ones that repeat really fast are a lot shorter, like the dungeon music in the original Legend of Zelda. You know, if you hear that for too long, you'll start going nuts. So they leave that one fairly short. It's like a minute.
And do they just fade out? They don't just stop, I guess.
Right, they just fade out. Fade out. It's all done very well. I mean, this is a total of like 2.5 hours of music. So even if your average track is only a couple minutes long, it still feels like there is a lot here. There is a lot of stuff.
Well, this may be nitpicky, but I would love to be able to loop these tracks and listen to the Overworld theme song for, you know, 10 minutes if I wanted to. I guess that's not an option.
No, not really. You'll have to turn to someone who's done that on YouTube for that, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I feel like with 2.5 hours of great variety, you know, this is that's perfect for me. I mean, you know, that's exactly how I want to listen to my Zelda music. I don't want to listen to 10 minutes of the Overworld theme song if I'm not playing the game necessarily.
Are there any special bonus tracks on there that maybe, like, I don't know, songs you may never have heard before or stuff like that? Anything crazy?
Not really. There is one of the trailer tunes from Twilight Princess, which I wasn't necessarily expecting on there. I think it's been included in some other official releases, though, so it's not that surprising. And another one that caught me off guard was I totally forgot that there is this awesome remix of the Zelda 2 dungeon music that I guess is in A Link Between Worlds. I totally forgot that was in there, so I was really surprised to hear that. I'm like, oh, wow, this is a great song. I totally forgot that this was even in the game. So for me, that was a nice surprise. But no, other than that, there's nothing terribly unusual.
Are we going to see this stateside?
I don't think so. Nintendo doesn't seem to have any interest in releasing this stuff in physical or even digital form.
They can't.
It's very weird.
They can't region encode a CD, so.
Yeah. It's so weird. I mean, there's so many third parties that have their music up on iTunes. Even the Pokemon Company has all the Pokemon stuff, or not all the Pokemon stuff, but a lot of Pokemon stuff up on iTunes. But as far as actual first-party Nintendo stuff goes, no, it's not there.
Yeah.
But speaking of surprises, while there weren't really any surprise tracks, it did include this set of art cards, this set of 8 double-sided art cards that have artwork from all 16 games that are featured here. And it's just this little square card featuring the cover art of, you know, every game, you know, Oracle of Seasons and Majora's Mask and Zelda 2 and A Link Between Worlds, you name it. And the purpose of these, I guess, is it's basically alternate, you know, cover art. You can take these little squares and slip them in front of the jewel case. It's like, boom, now I have this alternate cover.
That is so cool.
My favorite game is A Link to the Past. Now I have A Link to the Past 30th anniversary CD cover. Yeah, it's really cool. And I mean, just as art cards, as collectibles, they're really neat. But the fact that you can use it to customize the CD jewel case makes it even better.
So there's 16 of those?
There are 8 of them and they're double-sided.
Ah. It's funny because in the pictures online, it looks like there's 16 of them. That's funny. Or deceitful.
Well, I tweeted it out. I did send out a tweet with that, and I showed both the front side and the back side in 2 different pictures.
And it's in a nice box.
Yeah. It's a surprisingly nice hinged box that has the a little packet of the art cards and the jewel case with the double CDs in there. And yeah, it's all good. It's only like $30, which seemed very, very reasonable to me for something like this. There was also a similar 30th anniversary Super Mario Brothers set that came out last year. And between the two of them, I feel like I've got, you know, such a great wealth of Nintendo musical history. They're great companions to one another. I love having them. And, you know, if you are a music fan and don't mind paying the markup to import those sorts of things, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, a lot of people out there might not even be listening to video game music for fun, but I find it really easy to listen to, especially while I'm doing something else, just because it's not very distracting. It's songs you've heard a million times before. So yeah, I love it, especially when I'm coding or doing something, you know, cerebral, not necessarily while I'm reading, but crossword puzzles or something.
Well, speaking of reading, the other new release I wanted to talk about was the new printing of Super Mario Adventures. That being the Super Mario manga, essentially, that was originally in Nintendo Power back in 1992.
So you actually picked this up?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, we talked about it a few weeks or months ago when it was first announced. I pre-ordered it. It arrived in the mail, boy, just yesterday, I suppose. And I sat down and read through the entire thing.
How does it hold up? I'm worried.
Well, I don't know if I can say how it holds up, because when I was younger, and we talked about this,
yeah,
you know, I was not the biggest fan. You were not the biggest fan. We were both like, what's this kind of weird comic doing in the middle of my Nintendo Power distracting me from learning about new Super NES games? Blah. And why isn't it exactly like the game? So, you know, I was not a very big fan back then, so I was able to approach this with a very open mind and approach it like I sort of hadn't seen it before, because in a lot of ways I hadn't. And it's actually pretty good. It's pretty decent. It's a lot of fun. It's loosely based on Super Mario World in the fact that it has things like Yoshi and ghost houses and the flying cape. But, you know, certainly, you know, it's not called Super Mario, it's just called Super Mario Adventures. But you can see where it gets a lot of its ideas. And, you know, it works. It definitely works. It is goofy. It is fun. But for a Mario adventure, I think it, you know, it does the job. It does what it's supposed to do. It is appropriately goofy and lighthearted and fun. And then it does some neat things that you don't usually get to see in the games. Like Princess Toadstool. Yes, she is still called Toadstool in this, which I appreciate very much. They didn't retcon that or, you know, white out that name and change it to Peach or anything. But Princess Toadstool is surprisingly proactive. She doesn't just get kidnapped. She goes on the offensive and stuff. Mario actually gets kidnapped once, and he gets turned into stone another time. So yeah, he's out of action a bunch. And meanwhile, Princess is like, I'm going to go kick Bowser's butt. So that was pretty cool. And also, you get to see Luigi cross-dressing twice. So if you're into that sort of thing, I recommend it just for that.
Aha! Maybe they'll be the Super Mario siblings.
You know, it is pretty goofy. It is pretty silly. But it is a lot of fun. It works. It's much better than I gave it credit for back in the day. And, you know, you can pick this up for only like, you know, $15 and, you know, relive those moments from 1992. Plus, it even has a bonus episode, you could say, from 93, the Mario versus Wario one-shot. That only ran in one issue. It wasn't a continuing series like Super Mario Adventures was. But that's in there as well. So, yeah, all the Mario comics that I remember from back in the early 90s, all there in one volume. And I'd say it's pretty good stuff.
All right.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was not expecting it to like it as much as I did.
I'm surprised there was enough to fill a whole book. It ran for what, 12 months or 12 issues?
Yeah. The Super Mario Adventures ran for 12 issues. Mm-hmm. And each one of those was probably 8 pages or something. Plus there's the 13th episode. But yeah, you put that all together and you get like, you know, 100 pages or something.
No, they should have padded it out with some Nestor comics.
Well, I suppose that might be a different collection for the future. We've got Zelda, we've got Mario, maybe Nestor will come somewhere down the road.
Well, Nestor ran like almost the duration of the, or did they cut Nestor out of there eventually?
Oh, they definitely cut him out eventually. It only ran through issue 55, and by the time I got there, which was around issue 200, it was long gone. You know, he was only making very sporadic return appearances at that point. But
yeah, Nestor and Howard.
Howard Nestor. Nestor. Although he would probably tell you it was Nestor and Howard.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Be fun to see all that stuff compiled as well. Well, that's all I wanted to talk about as far as new releases and impressions of new products go. But we do have a new piece of listener email that I wanted to cover. This one reads, "Hey guys, love the podcast. I was so bummed when Nintendo Power went to that mailbox in the sky, but I've been slowly working my way through the top 285 from the final issue. I've discovered a ton of games that I missed along the way and have very few quibbles with the list." Although he mentions that Tecmo Bowl over Tecmo Super Bowl and Donkey Kong NES over Donkey Kong Arcade are questionable. Anyway, I was wondering if Hoff has any games that he lobbied for that didn't make the cut, or that he felt weren't worthy of making the cut. I assume that G.I. Joe and Super Star Wars are on there because of the Hoff. Did any others make it due to one writer's major lobbying? Also, shame on Scott for saying that the original Game Boy doesn't have even 30 quality games.
I didn't say necessarily that they weren't quality. I said they don't. Oh, gosh. Those, I tell you what, go get yourself a Game Boy. I got a pile of games.
I don't know the system that well, and I quickly came up with 30 titles that are very enjoyable.
All right.
Heck, the system was around forever.
Keep up the
great work. You make a great team, from Jeffrey Skull.
Well, Jeffrey Skull, I might sit there while you play through those 30 games. you know, it's hard because these games, you know, they're so simple. They're even simpler than NES games. So that's how simple they are. And they had to be. The Game Boy was just not nearly as powerful as the NES.
Hey, there
were
seven great Mega Man games. That's seven of them right there.
Are you kidding me? Get out of here. There were seven Mega Man games on the Game Boy?
Between Game Boy and Game Boy Color. I guess one of those was a Game Boy Color exclusive, that being Mega Man Extreme 2.
Oh, but, Mega
Man,
yeah.
There were five.
Yeah. All right.
Five that were strictly Game Boy Black and
they
White.
They were decent. All right.
I don't know. I tend to agree with you.
That
30 is a little tough, but I mean, that's why whenever we came up with a list in Nintendo Power for Game Boy, we would always have to lump Game Boy and Game Boy Color together because it was hard to come up with a great stellar list of just one or the other.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be that hard to come up with 30. I think we could do it.
I got a pile of Game Boys that speaks to my love of Game Boys. But the games, you know, they're fun to play for 5-10 minutes, and then you're on to the next one. It's just they're simple. Super Mario Land is a great example.
Anyway, on to the other points you made. First of all, Donkey Kong NES over Donkey Kong Arcade. Well, we weren't doing arcade games, so that's why we went with the NES version in there. As for, you know, that whole top 285 list and anything that didn't quite make the cut. Well, the way that we did this is that all the editors started by coming up with about, you know, their top 100, came up with a top 100 list of what we wanted to have on there. And we compiled that list, and basically we only came up with about 250 games at that time because there was a lot of overlap. So pretty much everything that we really wanted to have on there was going to make it in. It was no problem. When we saw that we still needed about 35 more games, we went back, we made longer lists, but everything we really wanted, we were all able to get all our personal favorites in there. Yes, G.I. Joe and Super Star Wars were probably mostly on there because of me. A couple of the other ones that I strongly lobbied for that the others didn't have on their initial lists actually include Donkey Kong Country and Conker's Bad Fur Day. I don't know what's wrong with my co-workers that they didn't want to include those. Crazy people. But as for my fellow editors, Steve, you know, some of the ones that he made sure were in there included Jet Force Gemini, Ice Hockey, and Baseball Stars on the NES. Phil pushed for Kid Nicky and Ninja 5-0, I remember in particular. Casey, he was the hardcore RPG guy, technically a freelancer, but he contributed so much that we wanted to have him pitch in with the list as well. And, you know, he really pushed for, you know, things like, you know, the Dragon Warrior and Dragon Quest games, as well as Etrian Odyssey. And Justin is probably the sole reason that WWF WrestleMania 2000 made the list, and probably a couple of the Pokemon games as well. But, you know, all of us were big fans of No Mercy. You know, that was a game I think we were just talking about last week on our N64 list. And so a lot of us voted for No Mercy, but I think Justin was the only one who voted for WrestleMania 2000. So that was his doing. So yeah, there you go. There is some insight into how we put together that final list. And I think we're all pretty happy that all of our favorites made the cut.
I love that behind the scenes stuff. I want to hear more of that.
Well, if anyone has any other questions, feel free to send more letters. I'd be happy to give it an answer. I guess we're about ready to move on to our big topic, but before we do that, Scott, you had mentioned a couple episodes ago that you had a contest in mind, and we got sidetracked when we weren't able to have an episode for a week, and then
last week we just completely forgot.
Yes,
that was my fault.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, I completely forgot last week.
Also, I'm moving. Just, you know, a few miles away, but it's enough to throw your life in upheaval. Everything's in boxes right now.
Moving's no fun.
So I'm going to need to extend this contest maybe a couple weeks. So we'll mention it next week too, just so that we give enough people a chance to enter. But I want to give away a backlit Game Boy. an OG backlit Game Boy. And I'll throw in some games.
Game Boy Fat, one of those gray ones with one of the gray ones with the reddish buttons.
I'll try to make it as restored as I can. So we, I feel like I want to just give it to a listener of the show. I don't want to do like a retweet and follow type thing on Twitter because I don't want people who don't listen to the show to enter this and get a Game Boy out of us. So. So well, this is for anyway. You at home who's listening right now.
So what do they have to do? Tell us.
What I want you to do is, and I'm going to mention this next week as well. So if you forget to do it this week, you can do it next week as well. Just tweet, just send us, sign up for a Twitter account if you don't have one. It takes a second. Just send us a tweet at Power Pros Pod. Make sure you follow the Power Pros Pod Twitter as well. You don't have to, but it's a lot easier for us to DM you, basically message you and say, hey, you won. What's your address? I don't have to tweet to you and be like, hey, you know, and bother you. What's your address? So I'd either do that over DM. Anyway, follow Power Pros Pod on Twitter with your Twitter account and just send us a message at Power Pros Pod. Make sure you include at Power Pros Pod in your message. It doesn't have to be a DM. Just tweet at us. And then just include the hashtag Game Boy Contest. And you can include a nice thought or tell us what your favorite Nintendo game of all time is or your favorite Mega Man enemy bad guy.
Or they can just make fun of my beard.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Just write what you want. I won't judge.
As long as it has hashtag Game Boy Contest.
That's right.
Hashtag Game Boy Contest. At Power Pros Pod.
That's right.
Then it's good.
You will be entered. And no retweeting a tweet or any of this crap. And you don't even have to follow us. If you don't want to follow us, don't. Just send us that tweet and we'll include you in the list.
And how long are we going to have this going for?
I think just a couple weeks. We don't want to hang it out too long. And I will hopefully have unpacked by then and we'll be able to get at my modded Game Boys. And I'll take
it. So do you want to go until the end of October then?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. All right. So up through Halloween, October 31st.
And I'll tell you what, the winner gets to pick what color backlight they want on the thing. So,
colored backlight.
It's funny because the Game Boy, everybody knows it's got this green, pea soup green screen on the original Game Boy. The Game Boy Pocket was more of a gray, gray mid-neutral color, but the original Game Boy was this pea soup green color. If you peel the backing off of the LCD screen, you will find out that the pixels that make up the images on your Game Boy are actually blue, a really beautiful blue color. So if you backlight it with white, you'll have blue pixels on a very bright white background. And then you can change. You basically put any light back there. You can put a red one. You can make it yellow. You can make it green to make it look more like the original Game Boy. You can make it kind of a yellow pee-pee color. But I'll give you guys, whoever wins, the opportunity to pick the color from a number of choices. But we'll work those details out over Twitter.
All right.
And you get a few Game Boy games with it. I don't know what you're going to get. I'm going to get whatever random weird games I've got in my bag of Game Boy games.
All right. Very cool. Very generous. Once again, that's at Power Pros Pod. And the hashtag is Game Boy Contest.
That's right. And that's just a thank you for listening.
Running through the end of October. Well, why don't we take a little intermission, and then when we come back, we will discuss our big topic, which is the games we want to see in the NX launch lineup. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the games we want to see in the NX launch lineup. As I said earlier, we still don't know what the system's gimmick is, so it's hard to come up with games that might work especially well with the hardware. But, you know, what the heck? Let's just talk about games that we think should be right there, day one or close to it, that should be in the lineup to help sell the system. We already know, of course, that The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is going to be a fairly early game in the NX library. They haven't exactly promised it's a launch game, but it seems very, very likely that it is. So, you know, we're not going to pick Zelda, of course, since we already know that that is coming fairly soon. Of course, there's that new unnamed Sonic the Hedgehog game on the way from Sega, as well as Dragon Quest XI, although it's anybody's guess if that makes it to the US or not. But beyond that, we don't know a whole lot of other stuff that's official. So, let's just get into it. Let's just sort of, you know, say this is what we would like to see. This is what we would hope to see. This is what we want to see in the NX launch lineup. And for me, I think my first choice is a pretty obvious one, and that would be a brand new 3D Mario game.
I agree.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had a real 3D Mario. I mean, we had 3D Land and 3D World, mm-hmm. and even though they have 3D in the title, they aren't an open 3D game like what we got from Mario 64 or Sunshine or the Galaxy games. And that's what I want, is a brand new game in that vein, something that combines all the platforming and all the exploration and all the open-endedness that those games provided. You know, I don't necessarily want it to be Super Mario Galaxy 3, but I want it to be something along those lines and something that says, yes, this is Mario at his very best, at, the cutting edge of technology, you know, as much as NX can be. Mm-hmm. Just give us a great, well-rounded, really cool experience with new powers and, lots of new worlds to explore and Koopalings to fight and princesses to rescue and Bowsers to stomp. Mm-hmm. I've talked before about how it would be really cool if they did sort of an open world city game, where you're sort of, exploring different parts of this big, wide open Bowser city or whatever, for lack of a better term. But it doesn't have to be that. I'm sure that whatever Nintendo comes up with could be pretty awesome. And, what's the Mario team been working on for the last few years since they wrapped up Super Mario 3D World? I'm not sure. Hopefully they are making a really awesome new adventure, and it would be great if it were to show up, as close to launch as possible.
Yeah. Now,
there's rumors it might not make its debut until next E3, mm-hmm. but who knows if they can do it before then, if they can get it out. And besides, I think Nintendo has proven time and time again that their systems tend to do better when you have a Mario game right there at launch.
Yeah, I would love to see Super Mario Galaxy 3. I mean, that's before we started this conversation, that was my wish. I just want to see Super Mario Galaxy mm-hmm. 3. I don't think they could mess that up. And I'm worried that if they go off script, that we could wind up with Super Mario Color Splash 2. So not that I didn't not enjoy Super Mario Color Splash, but you're not going to sell me a system based on Super Mario Color Splash. And I think that's important. They need to sell this system. And
yes, they do.
I think, honestly, I don't want to see another Nintendo Land pack-in.
No,
I'd much rather see Super Mario Galaxy 3 as a pack-in with a themed controller.
Yeah, pack-in or not, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want a new 3D Mario. I'll pay full $60 for that,
yeah.
Believe me.
All right.
And while I kind of do want to see something that's new and fresh, I would certainly not object to a Galaxy 3. I mean, Super Mario Galaxy 1 is, I think, my all-time favorite Mario game,
mm-hmm.
probably one of my top 10 or top 5 games of all time. So if that's what it ended up being, I would be fine with that. Just personally, I was hoping for something just a little bit newer and different, and maybe that doesn't necessarily harken back to the Wii. I think maybe establishing something as being new and fresh could be kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
one way or the other, hopefully they've got a 3D Mario coming at us front and center soon.
Yeah.
What else you got?
So this is going out on a limb. I think it would blow people's minds to see a 2D Metroid game or 2.5D Metroid game. I know that's not necessarily where the technology is going.
Well, I'm definitely there with you on a Metroid game.
Oh, man. I just would love... I just don't want to see, another Metroid Prime. I'd much rather see a really nice 2D Metroid game done really well.
See, I'm thinking Metroid Prime 4 myself. I would love to see a Metroid Prime 4. You know, Retro has been pretty quiet recently, and if they're working on a Metroid Prime 4, I think that would be pretty mind-blowing. I mean, really, that was the last time that people were really excited and talking about Metroid was back when they did Metroid Prime. Before that, it had been dormant for many years. Obviously, the other M experiment didn't quite work out that well. And people were chomping at the bit for a real Metroid Prime when Federation Force came out. They're like, this isn't the Metroid we want. We want a real Metroid Prime game. I mean, from a personal standpoint, I would love a 2.5D Metroid or a 2D Metroid. I think that would be amazing. But, I think as far as getting people excited for the system, having like a top-notch first-person shooter game is probably pretty important. And I think Metroid Prime 4 would fit the bill for that pretty darn well.
Not for me. But, Dave sold the system to me already. I think you had mentioned before we started up the recording that a 2D Metroid, people who are going to play and want to play a 2D Metroid are already going to buy this system, even if they don't get the 2D Metroids.
Yeah, I don't think it's a system seller. I think that if you're the Nintendo faithful who really wants a 2D or 2.5D Metroid game, you're going to probably be getting the NX regardless. But I think that perhaps a Metroid Prime 4 could sway some people. However, one of the rumors about the NX is that it'll have these games that you play on TV on, as a traditional console, and then you can take this thing away as a handheld, but it might not play the exact same games. So what if Metroid Prime 4 is the one you play on your TV, and then you take this thing on the go, and it turns and you play some companion 2.5 or 2D Metroid game, and it'd be the best of both.
That'd be pretty awesome, huh? That would be really cool.
Yeah,
I'd be in for that.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. That would kick a lot of butt. On the other hand, I suppose on my list, even maybe before seeing Retro do a Metroid Prime 4, I would kind of like to see them deliver on, this long-standing rumor that they're working on a racing game and maybe give us a Donkey Kong Racing or a Diddy Kong Racing game. And we've seen that Mario Kart is huge, and Mario Kart is a massive system seller. At least as much as anything is for Nintendo these days. And so, they could come out with a Mario Kart launch title. That certainly would not be a bad business decision. But just from what I'm hoping, I would love to see Retro come in and do a Donkey Kong or Diddy Kong racing game. They've shown that, they know what they're doing with the Donkey Kong series. I believe they have contributed to the other Mario Kart games. And it would fill that racing niche while still not, if we were to get a 3D Mario, then we could also have a Donkey Kong game. They wouldn't be it wouldn't be two Mario games. It would be, two of their, biggest franchises. That we'd have Mario, we'd have Donkey Kong, and we'd have platforming, and we'd have racing, and we'd still have all that great stuff, but just adding a little bit more variety to the mix, I think, if they did it this way. Would you be, excited about a Donkey Kong racing game?
I'm not as big a fan of Donkey Kong as I am of the whole Mario Kart gang, so I'm just not a fan of the whole aesthetic of Donkey Kong, but
it's racing gorillas. It's gorillas driving cars.
It's gorillas driving cars.
It's fascinating.
And riding, swordfish and stuff.
Riding swordfish or giant spiders or rhinoceroses. And sometimes they surf. They're surfing gorillas. We can have Funky Kong, surfing. Man. Through the waters while Donkey Kong is there on N-Guard and they're racing. Oh, man, I'm having such, this looks brilliant right now in my head.
I don't think so. I much prefer a Super Mario Kart game, to be honest, but I don't expect that at launch for sure. We're just too close to Super Mario Kart 8. I don't see us getting a Super Mario Kart 9.
We'll definitely be getting one eventually.
Eventually.
Speaking of Donkey Kong, though, What are the chances that Pauline is actually Diddy Kong's mother?
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, we'll save that for a different
disgusting.
Time. We'll save that,
we'll save that you have for to keep a that different in the episode. You're not allowed to cut that out. Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe you said that. Wait, what if Mario is Diddy Kong's dad?
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
What if Dixie Kong is possible, isn't it? No. Is Dixie not?
I don't know. Those ages don't add up at
how
all.
How old is Dixie?
The same age as Diddy.
How old is that? Mario's 25, according to Miyamoto.
He's, I think he's wrong about that. Anyway, they're the same age.
Mario's dad is wrong about the age of Mario. I wish I could grow a mustache that cool at the age of 25.
I saw Mario back in 1981, so I know he's over 35. So anyway, but Diddy and Dixie are the same age. So, I mean, I guess there's Wrinkly Kong, but I'm not even going to think about that. So moving on to the next game I would like to see on the NX.
Yes, please.
Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 2. Not a bad idea. I wouldn't have thought of that.
It's a great idea. Yeah. Because, I mean, Splatoon, obviously the biggest new IP Nintendo has done in ages and ages. And, you know, some people were saying, oh, maybe we'll get a port of Splatoon over onto NX. Screw that. I want a port of last gen's biggest original game. I want a brand new Splatoon 2. And, you know, I'm not really the biggest shooter fan personally, but I've certainly seen how much people enjoy it, how much people like this thing, and how it seems to have reinvigorated the entire online shooter community. Just, it seems that, you know, it's given people a lot of new ideas about what a shooter can be, and I don't want to see them just, you know, resting on their laurels. Hopefully that team jumped right back in after they finished up with all the DLC stuff. They're like, yes, let's make this newer and bigger and better and get it ready to launch on NX and, you know, continue the great momentum that they have.
So, you know, I definitely wanted to say that I want to be surprised by whatever they announce at launch.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of obvious places to go with this discussion. I'm trying to think of something that would sell me a system beyond a Zelda or a Mario or a Metroid, and something that would possibly sell someone else on a system who's not me. And, I keep coming back to the unfortunates, like, you know, sports titles and like some shooters. But what would you say if there was a GoldenEye sequel for the NX? Would you be down for a GoldenEye sequel, like an online multi?
I would say inconceivable.
You don't think we'd see anything like that?
Well, I think it would be really tough to do. I mean, for one thing, it was made by Rare. The original dev team, I think, is scattered to the wind. I'm not sure, you know, how much name value that still has. I mean, Activision tried to bring back GoldenEye when they had the Bond license and tried to do their own thing with it. And, of course, it couldn't live up to anybody's expectations either. So, you know, it would be kind of, you know, neat from a nostalgic standpoint. But I feel like that ship has kind of sailed in multiple ways. And that's why if I were going to, you know, do the shooter thing, I would say that Metroid Prime 4 or Splatoon 2 would be the ways to go.
Yeah. Would you say to a new Luigi's Mansion game? Because I feel like
Not at launch.
Not at launch? Because I feel
that's
like...
what I would say.
I just feel like if you had configurable controllers, you could give me the Gus Buster, you know, and the
Poltergust.
The Poltergust or whatever. Oh my gosh.
Well, I do like Gus Buster.
Oh man.
Okay, Luigi has taken a lot of flack. Yeah, you know, that's what happened. That was with the GameCube.
Like, there's the hard boy color, whatever. In the 3DS version, it was called the little handheld thing that...
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I know what you're talking about.
I think that they could make a very charming, fun-to-control, like, vacuumy type device controller that would sell me on a game like Luigi's Mansion. And
I think depending on what the gimmick for the NX ends up being, I think you could be very right. But the reason I would not name this as something I want to see at launch is just because of the flack that this game got for being the launch title for the GameCube. You know, people were like, oh, a Luigi game, and oh, it's not really like a Mario game, it's something totally different. And you know, that kind of got, you know, some of the blame for GameCube not doing so well out of the gate. And so while I would love to see a third Luigi's Mansion title, I don't think the launch window is the right place for it. But I thought Next Level did great with the last one, and if they are, you know, working on a third one, that would be fine with me. But I would keep it away from launch so as to not distract from the other Mario series titles that could be there. Hopefully they're working on it.
And I'm monopolizing the conversation, but what do you think should they capitalize on the Pokemon Go craze and try to get out a Pokemon game for the launch of this system? Or do you not see that happening?
I think that they definitely should. I don't really see it being, Pokemon Go. And I definitely don't see it being a mainline Pokemon game, because we're just going to be getting the brand new mainline Sun and Moon coming in November. And, you know, after they release that, I wouldn't really expect a new one to come out for another year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think, well, maybe they could remake some of the old ones. You know, maybe it's time to remake Diamond and Pearl or something like that. But I think coming out at the launch window would be way too soon for that. I think it might also be even too soon for if they were doing like a third version of Sun and Moon. And also, they usually don't, upgrade hardware when they make that third version.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If that happens or not, again, I would expect that to stay on 3DS. So I don't see them having a brand new RPG-style Pokemon game. However, if they did something that was along the lines of a Pokemon Colosseum type of game, or, maybe the long-awaited Pokemon Snap 2 that everyone keeps hoping for, if they had something like that,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be a really great idea, and that's something I would love to see in the launch lineup. And if they did something that was, a Colosseum-style game, and somehow that was linked to Pokemon Go, when you could, transfer some of your characters mm-hmm. or some of your items or something mm-hmm. between those two games, that would be brilliant. So that, I think, is probably what I would most like to see, is something along those lines. I'm not quite sure how they would sort of do the transferring thing between a Snap game. And now, I do love my Pokemon Snap, but if I try to factor that into the equation and how you might, do stuff, offline when it's not a console, whether it's through Pokemon Go or whether it's through, the handheld
mm-hmm.
alleged capabilities of the NX, I think something like Pokemon Colosseum would be pretty darn great and would fill the ever popular Pokemon niche without having to deliver a full fledged massive game, which I just don't think be possible at this point.
So. What was the last great launch title? What was the last great Nintendo launch title? Can you even think of a game that really stood the test of time as a launch title in the last 3-4 generations?
I mean, the one that immediately comes to mind would be Twilight Princess.
Okay.
Because that ended up being a Wii launch game.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's a system seller.
I mean, the Wii U... no, I don't think anything mm-hmm. there nope. was a great launch title. We had a new Super Mario Brothers game at least,
mm-hmm.
but we already had several new Super Mario Brothers games. So it was like, oh, here's just another one on the pile.
Yeah,
it was a pretty good new Super Mario Brothers game. Don't get me wrong, but it felt like something we had done several times before. Obviously, the 3DS launch lineup with Steel Diver.
Oh my gosh, don't even remind me.
I forget what else was pretty terrible.
It was all bad.
Yeah, that's why they had to relaunch the system all that time later. But we had a fairly good launch lineup, and Zelda's the thing that really, really stands out to me long term. But going back to things I like to see on NX, I guess the other one that I think would be a great inclusion from Nintendo would be Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And I think it's, like I said with Pokemon, I think it'd be impossible to deliver a brand new Smash Brothers experience so soon after we got the last one. But I'm thinking in this case, and this has been rumored before as well, that they might just do a enhanced version of the same Smash game that we got on Wii U mm-hmm. and on 3DS. And in this case, I would be totally okay with it. While I think with Splatoon, it would be a huge mistake to deliver the same thing, I think giving us a Super Smash Brothers NX, complete edition, I think could work pretty well. Obviously they would have all the DLC characters baked right in. Hopefully they could maybe put in, a handful of new characters, four more. Obviously they somehow made a huge mistake and did not include the Amazon from pro wrestling. So it would finally be his time to shine along with Professor Layton. And I'm not sure who else.
Oh my gosh, Professor Layton would be so great. Ugh. Maybe he'd throw Luke at his enemies.
that would be great. But so I'm totally cool with that, and I think that the Smash Bros. Community would be responsive to it. Plus, here is the conspiracy theorist coming out in me. Maybe that's why we have not seen those last three amiibo yet of Cloud and Bayonetta and Korin. Maybe they're going to launch those along with the other brand new characters to coincide with the release of Super Smash Bros. NX.
Yeah, so what...
Who knows?
I mean, what do we get out of an NX version of Smash Bros. Other than like 60 frames a second gaming?
Hopefully they can come up with some new modes or something. Like I said, I'd like to see a couple new characters added in. Also, you know, they could maybe pull the best of, you know, the 3DS version and the Wii U version. Mm. You know, the single player experience was different in both of those games. So maybe they would have both of those, or maybe somehow have a brand new mode. Probably a brand new mode actually would be the best way to go. Mm. But really, I think the main appeal of it is we're continuing this, you know, beloved game on a you know, home console that's not going to be kind of dead. Yeah. So
is there a third party title out there that you're just like, oh man, I wish we could get that on the system?
Well, there are definitely third party games that I think would be appealing. You know, while it's not a system seller or anything like that, it would be pretty neat if you know, Lady Layton was ready for the NX.
Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be a 3DS game, mm-hmm. but that would be kind of cool if it showed up on NX instead. And, you know, I think from selling the system standpoint, especially over in Japan, maybe an NX port of Monster Hunter 4 would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I believe that Monster Hunter 4 has only been on handheld. You know, there was the original version that was on 3DS, and there was an enhanced version, which ended up being the version that we got over here in the US, if I'm not mistaken. But it hasn't been on console yet, so, you know, maybe they can do a higher res enhanced version that comes out for the NX at launch. And then, like, everybody in Japan's gonna be like, okay, well, I gotta buy this immediately. of course, a brand new Monster Hunter game would be awesome as well, but I'm not holding my breath for that. But to get this into the hands of as many Japanese players as they can, I think that would be pretty brilliant. For me personally, things that would be realistic at launch for a third party, I'm not sure. Are there any that you were thinking of?
That's a good question. I'd love to just see, you know, Valve give us something, the latest and greatest, or something from Bethesda, or something from one of these top tier developers that, you know, we otherwise get skipped out on. Because,
well, that would be great. That certainly would help sell the system.
Yeah.
But, you know, the record to me proves that that's not going to happen out the gate. I'd be really surprised if there's a whole lot of North American support at all. Although, yeah, it would be pretty cool.
And just because I think it would be goofy, there's a game called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, and it's like a bomb diffusing game, and it's you're presented with this very bizarre looking contraption, and somebody else has a really convoluted manual basically to how to diffuse the bomb, and they can't see what you're looking at, so they have to describe how to diffuse this crazy contraption based on this really, you know, crummy like manual. And
is this a multiplayer
game? It is a multiplayer game. It's a
what platforms is it currently?
It's a PC game.
Okay.
But if you have a configurable controller, you could make that part of the, you know, bomb diffusing. Kind of like,
oh yeah, I think you were talking about that last time.
Maybe even like a game like Space Team would work with a crazy wacky controller. Have you ever played Space Team? It's an iOS game. Anyway, if you're out there and you get a bunch of friends together, everybody download Space Team. You will have a riot. It is hilarious. It's just Space Team. It's everybody is looking at a crazy control board, and you're given odd instructions, and you have to shout them out. And somebody else's panel will usually have something that solves that instruction. So it's like, turn on the configurator, and somebody else has a button that says configurator, and they have to turn it on. But there's a panel of like eight things, so sometimes you're just not looking to see, oh gosh, I have the configurator, so they flip it on or off. It's silly, but it's fun. And I think that's the kind of I think party style gameplay that a fun configurable controller might lend itself to.
Yeah, perhaps so. I don't know. I'm still not sure how much faith to place in this whole configurable controller thing is. So I guess we'll see how true that ends up being.
Yeah, maybe we just get a crazy, crappy plastic wheel that we have to slap the gamepad inside of.
Who knows? I guess the one other third-party game I'd love to see, and I know there's absolutely no way this is going to be a launch title, but I'll just throw it out there anyway. Somewhere down the road, you know, we've heard these rumors that Nintendo is having a pretty strong partnership with Square Enix these days. We know that they're doing Dragon Quest XI. They're doing a NX version of Dragon Quest X over in Japan. They've got other stuff in the works. I really hope that they end up bringing Kingdom Hearts 3 over to the NX. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to see that be a launch title, but we know that it takes them, you know, 250 years to make one of these things. So I don't expect Kingdom Hearts 3 to be ready for, like, you know, until 2020 or something like that. So we'll see. But I think that would be pretty awesome if, you know, we can get back in with Kingdom Hearts and have a mainline series entry finally come to a Nintendo console. I think that would be pretty incredible. But heck, you know, maybe for launch, they can do a port of an older game or something like that. That would be ideal, but I would accept it. Maybe it could be a port of this Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue Remix Ultimate Super Turbo EX Plus Alpha or something like that.
So you're saying there's no chance we're getting a Final Fantasy game?
Not at launch, I don't think. No way, Jose. But it'd be cool to see that as well. But yeah, I said Kingdom Hearts because I think that's just, you know, so perfect for the Nintendo audience that I think it should be there. That's why I would love to see that come in somewhere along the way.
What if we got an awesome new DuckTales? Holy crap. That would sell me a system, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'd certainly be down with that, but I don't think I'm going to hold my breath for that one either.
One of us needs to get hired at Capcom, convince them that they need to partner up with Disney again, make us a new DuckTales game. Maybe it's a...
Heck, let's go straight to Wait Forward. They made the last one.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, why not? You
know,
all right.
Capcom doesn't have the license anymore. Maybe, you know, Wait Forward can, you know, work straight with Disney. Disney is outsourcing all their stuff now. Wait Forward just needs to get on the line and give us a DuckTales 3.
Ooh, and along those lines, maybe a Shovel Knight 2.
Well, I don't think that'd be ready for launch either. They're still getting our DLC from the last Shovel Knight ready.
They're spoiling
us. We'll be getting that one eventually, I'm sure. Anyway, I feel like we've kind of tapped out this conversation, so I guess we should wrap up this episode of Power Pros. But before we go, I believe there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the Game Boy game, Avenging Spirit. You dirty rat. You have been deep-sixed by gangsters and turned into a ghost. To make matters worse, the mob has kidnapped your mom, and for ransom, they want the secret of ghost energy. To rescue her and to get even with the mob, you must inhabit any one of 20 different creatures and search for your girlfriend on 6 dangerous levels. So, grab a body, any body, make a beeline to the Big Cheese, and rescue your doll face.
These people just stink. They stink so bad. They don't even... Did they know how bad they are?
I don't know. This is another case, I think, of, you know, not really wanting the image they're projecting of the game to reflect what the game really is. I mean, if you look at the box art, you know, it's some evil looking gangster dude. It looks like that bad guy from Indiana Jones who got his face melted off. That's what it looks like on there. I think that's just one of like the bad guys in the game who, like, you know, who offed your character and turned you into what ends up being a totally cutesy ghost. And yeah, I don't know if I've ever played this game, but it doesn't really seem to match up with that box art well at all. And then just going for all this gangster lingo on the back.
The Game Boy box art is a guy with a machine gun.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Doesn't it kind of look like the dude who got his face melted off in Indiana Jones?
Yeah, it does. It wasn't just on the Game Boy, was it?
That's where I'm familiar with it from. Was it an arcade game first, maybe? I think maybe it was.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was an arcade game. I got to play this now. It looks so bad.
Well, it's on 3DS Virtual Console, so it's easy to get your hands on. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, it would be great if you'd give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Bashella,
hashtag Game Boy Contest,
and our foul-mouthed squirrel friend Conker,
I'm looking for some poo.
We will see you next time.